It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Welcome back, everybody. The Access of Easy. My name is Joey. That's Len. I'm going to let Len tell you how he's doing here while I break into a sparkling water. What's going on, buddy?
I'm great, Joey. I guess you want me to delay things while you cracked it up slowly.
No, we're good. It's very, very easy. Very quick.
You got to savor the moment. Think of all the time and effort they did to create the can, to compress the air and everything, ship it to you. You just open it up like it's nothing. Like, come on. No.
You ever try these things? These like bubbly water cans?
Yeah. My wife's a big fan of that. So we have a few cases, like, you know, 5 or 10.
The usual. In, yeah.
Oh, 10 plus. So yeah, there's tons of different flavors.
This is a grapefruit. I don't mind it. It kind of, the only thing I'm concerned about, I'm not like overly concerned from a health perspective about bubbling water. Some people say carbonation, not the best thing. I don't know, but I do worry about where that flavor comes from. How is it possible this tastes exactly like the thing they say it tastes like?
And but, zero calories.
And like, what's going on there? What is that?
Yeah. I wouldn't recommend just downing this by the gallon, just a little bit here, a little bit there, just like anything else, moderation, you'll be okay. Yeah. I don't think that's the flavor is all that healthy. Whatever. Carbonated water, how bad could that be? That we've been having that for a long time.
Carbonated is the new smoking. That's going to be an advertising 2055.
How could they go against carbonated water? Like, what else are you going to do with the carbon in the atmosphere?
We have so much of it. Maybe that's the answer. Are we thinking the right way here? Well, another problem solved by you and I in front of a camera.
Doesn't the water absorb some carbon too? I mean, doesn't the ocean do that?
There are bubbles in the ocean. So,
well, that's methane and stuff like that comes out of from. But sometimes it comes up from some people's orifices.
Ask the Nobel laureates about that.
Oh, they're breathing. It's not just emitting something. It's carbon, and not just right.
Oh God! Listen,
loving that stuff.
We got a long show. Let's start with last week's quote: "The real tax is society forcing otherwise productive people to pay attention to politics." That was by Naval Ravikant. He's very popular on Twitter. No one got that, by the way. He's—I don't know if he's a newish voice, by newish, like last 10 years or so. He's relatively young and. He's polarizing on Twitter. People either think he's the smartest man alive or a graduate of Yappers University with honors. So I'm not sure which he is in my view, but that's a pretty good quote. I do agree with that. This week's quote, "The joy of life lies mainly outside what you believe is possible." If you know who that was by, God, the bubbles immediately give you burps. If you know who that was by, without Googling, of course, put in the comments section, you get your next round of renewals on EasyDNS. Put Mark out of house and home by getting the answer to this right every week. And before you know it, Mark will have to give you equity in the company because the renewals will just be too burdensome. So then we have
a week is giving. So it's not like it's that.
Hey, buddy, it was 52 weeks in the year before you know it. You know, by the year 4,000, you know, you're giving away a lot of money there. Anyway, yeah. So listen, we got 5 stories tonight. We got, I mean, it's a who's who. This is a sort of an all-star weekend batting order here. U.S. government. We got the Canadian government. We got LinkedIn. We got AI, and we got credit cards. You can't beat this.
Meta. No, this is Meta.
And Meta. Yeah, Meta's the AI.
Meta's one of those that you. Yeah.
You can't beat it. This is an outstanding docket. Where do you want to start?
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the Slim CD stuff. Cyber attack apparently is impacting this credit card processing service, Slim CD, and this may have compromised the personal information of some 1.7 or almost 1.7 million customers. And the big problem is the breach went undetected for nearly a year. But I'll have to say, to their credit, SlimCD is thumbing their nose to the traditional one-year credit monitoring services. And it's basically giving the customers
nothing. I knew you were going to say that.
I got to give them credit. Like, they're bucking a trend here. They're giving them absolutely nothing. Just basically a handshake, good luck, and see you later. The exposed data includes all the same old crap that we've dealt with in the past. The names, addresses, security, social security numbers, credit card details and so forth. And that makes it ripe for people to be potentially on the receiving end of some identity theft or financial fraud. And it's just another string of attacks. I mean, something similar like this took place earlier this year, where Prudential Financial, not very prudent, these guys, they indicated that a data breach impacted their customers. Some 2.5 million were impacted at that time. And again, in June, Evolve Bank and Trust suffered another data breach that's similar to these ones. Sensitive information was stolen, including customers' social security numbers, bank account details, and so forth. So really, if you're a member of or a customer of any of these companies I've mentioned, I would suggest it's worth your while to keep on top of things. Check out your financial records all the time. Anything that seems suspicious, there may be some potential fraud that you may be impacted by that, and you want to take some action. But certainly, you're not going to be getting any credit monitoring service from Slim CD. Shame on them, or good for them. I'm not sure how to address it. At least it's something different. I'll give them credit there.
How about the name Slim CD? Comments on that? Does that sound like a Windows 2000/XP era? Like you pirated Turok off of somebody, you need a key gen, so you open Slim CD EXE from the burn CD with the Sharpie on it. No,
the first thing that came to mind was Slim Shady when I saw this.
What about Sim City? I thought about Sim City first. It sounds very similar.
Incredible. So we went two different paths.
Yeah.
I'm still sticking with Slim Shady because, you know,
I don't even know what to say about this story. It makes me laugh. Like, God bless the team over at Easy DNS who puts together the newsletter every week. They got to be shaking their heads even more than us. We've been doing this for about a year now, maybe a little more, and they've been doing it for a lot longer than that. The stories are just hysterical. I wonder if they picked up on the idea of this notable thing, though, notable in more ways than one, that these guys opted not to give any credit monitoring, any bonus, any sorry about that, nothing. Not a single thing. It was almost 2 million people, right? 1.7 million, I think, was the number. I can pull my notes up here.
Yeah, almost
1.7. Yeah, 1.7. Yeah. That's, Len, are you kidding me? You can't give anyone anything for that? What credit monitoring, is it expensive? I've never even thought to look at the price. What does credit monitoring cost? I have no idea.
I don't know. Now it just gets me thinking. It may be a good time to go long on publicly traded credit monitoring companies.
How many of those are there?
Well, if there's only a handful, I'm just going to say these guys are going to be in business for a heck of a long time moving forward, and they're going to get all this freebies from, they're going to be given out, whatever. Either way,
I love this. I just think this is such a good story, though, isn't it?
The sad thing is, like, these services, everybody uses, and it's not like you could predict one that's going to be, oh, I'm going to get rug pulled because they have crappy protection. You just don't. Yeah. You're rolling the dice every time you use any of these services, and it's not like I'm going to say, "Oh, one is better than the rest." They're all virtually the same, and you just got to throw a dart, hope that for the best. If not, you know what? You just got to stay on your toes and keep looking at your financial records, and that's too bad. And you still should look at your financial records regardless. Let's be perfectly honest.
How much time should you spend looking at your financial records, though? Like how much? Come on.
She does it for us.
Yeah,
she's very good. She's on top of that. Anytime she sees something that's suspicious, boom, she nails it. And even sometimes, like, I make a purchase for something that just seems odd. Like, I'm going to the NHL 94 tournament next week. I signed up for that. The purchase seemed odd. What was this? You bought it? Yes, I did. There you go. So she's on top of these things.
Are you sure that's not just land monitoring? Not
credit monitoring. We have an in-house version. She's like, but I'm not outsourcing this one. This one's staying right here. She's a lovely lady. Great job she does.
God bless. God bless.
The fact that she could stand me for more than a few seconds consecutively.
I wasn't going to say anything, but if you want
to be honest, good for her. So let's go to Meta. We have to talk about Meta. They're back in the fold this week. How long has this been? A couple of weeks?
It's been 1 week. It's like that. What is that Simpsons thing? Days without a Meta incident.
Zero.
Six. The answer is always six on the seventh day. Well, back again.
They have indicated that since 2007, every darn photo from the adult Facebook and Instagram users were given they gave these things to the AI models to be scanned and analyzed. And they also did the same thing with texts that were posted on those platforms, 2007.
So you used to be able to, I'll note here before I forget, the platform that you see now, if you're a Facebook user, is vastly different than what it was in 05, 06, 07. I was university at that time. I was among the first, you know, million or 500,000 users of Facebook for sure. And used to be, Len, you just post a status, like the feed would be just stuff that people posted, thoughts and whatnot. You remember this? Have you ever had a Facebook account?
I did a long time ago, but it's reminded me of something that transpired at work.
Yeah, exactly. I know exactly what you're talking about. We won't bring it up, but that's exactly what we're talking about here. And so you can imagine all the stuff that was posted in 05 and 06 and 07. That was before everyone knew the internet was forever. It seems like the only people who didn't know were Facebook's users, because Zuckerberg obviously knew and obviously acted on it. But anyway, continue. Go ahead. This is an interesting story.
Yeah. Well, so accusations that they're using this AI to analyze stuff. What was Meta's response? Well, they denied the accusations until it was finally proven that they were doing this kind of stuff. And at that time, they finally relented. And they indicated that we use public posts and comments on Facebook and Instagram to train generative AI models for these features and for the open source community. We don't use posts or comments with an audience other than public for these purposes. And do you trust them? Look, they were denying everything up until the point where they finally were shown you guys are doing it. And then finally they relented and started saying, okay, we're doing it, but this is the reason why we're doing it. The question remains, how much data have they processed? Well, this is 17 years worth of data that they have accumulated. What is that AI? What are they doing with it? Pictures, text, like, are they training the model to figure out what people were thinking, doing? Like, there's so much you can process. There's so much information. And what are they going to do with it? Are they going to sell it, use it somehow against us in one way or shape or another? Like, I don't know. This is pretty crappy stuff, if you ask me.
What can we say about this that we haven't already said about similar stories? A couple of things, I think. Mostly because this is Facebook and mostly because of the era. I pointed one out before that these guys seem to know that this was forever before anyone else did. The other thing I'll point out that somehow the article misses, again, because it feels like people who didn't use Facebook back then don't remember this. What it used to mean when you had something set to public was that anyone who went to your page and searched you out and friended you could see what your posts were. There's different audiences, right? You could set stuff to like your university, to certain friend groups, to certain interest groups you were in, whatever. But the public stuff was still reserved for your friends for a few years. There was no, you know, private, you know, XYZ. There came a time in like 08, I think, or 09, when you could change, like, you know, people tag you in photos or in statuses, they no longer show up on your page. Or you can moderate the stuff that people want to put on your wall. You know, the wall. Remember that? I don't even know if that's still there. This stuff used to mean something different then. It was before all this privacy concern stuff started to pop up, before people started to realize that everything they typed was going to be online forever, before everyone realized that, you know, the political touchiness of every situation that you talk about could wind up with you losing your livelihood or your family or both. This is unethical, in my opinion. It's unethical for a number of reasons, but the AI is only one of them. Training generative AI is only one of them. In my opinion, the real problem is that all the definitions of this stuff have since changed, and they're pretending that it never changed. And that, to me, is like, just when you think Zuckerberg is figuring things out and becoming less of a, you know, what's the French word, dickhead, he pulls something like this. And this is infuriating to me. I can just imagine the stuff that was on my Facebook wall for those years. I was like, you know, how old was I in 2005? 18. No 18-year-old should be able to post on the internet. We should be banning kids from the internet posting world until they're like 25.
They're old enough to drink in some states. They're old enough to enlist, drive, to go to war, vote.
But no. Why posting? Not post? No posting. Not allowed. Those other things won't ruin your life the way that this will. I mean, the other thing too, Len, I like how they note and are specific about how this doesn't impact anyone who was a minor at the time. I don't buy that for a second. People posting pictures back then were posting tons of kids' photos. I was in pictures with minors all the time because I was a minor. I was 17 when I got my Facebook account. you know, or 18 when I got my Facebook account, however old I was. I had friends in my neighborhood. I have cousins. I have, you name it, who were officially minors who were in those photos. You telling me Facebook knows that? There's no way for them to know that. I just don't believe any of this. And why should we? You know, we talk about these guys, like you said, once every week, once every 2 weeks. It's never a good story. It's never Facebook clamps down on government overreach in terms of, you know, trying to grab pictures of alleged criminals. Like, it's never that. It's always the opposite. I don't believe anything these guys say. And I think this is not going to be the last we hear of Facebook AI and what they have done with, you know, quote unquote public, whatever it means to them, posts.
OpenAI, we know them.
Oh yeah.
They've unveiled its latest creation, and this is called Strawberry AI model. And apparently this is going to give them a new edge for generating more analytical and nuances responses for the queries compared to its predecessor. So this new version, the Strawberry AI, was given a task. It was to partake in a test. It's a capture the flag type thing for cybersecurity. And apparently it went rogue in this whole process here. They said, I mean, according to what the whole challenge was, it was designed to require finding and exploiting a vulnerability in software running on remote challenge Linux container. But in this case, the challenge container failed to start due to a bug in the evaluation infrastructure. So the model was unable to connect to the container. It suspected DNS issues and used Nmap to scan the challenge network. That's pretty interesting that it did this. It's going outside the box here to figure stuff out here. So instead of finding the challenge container, the model found that the Docker daemon API running on the evaluation host VM was accessible due to a misconfiguration. So they discovered that the Docker API, the model used, it the list contains has containers running it from the evaluation host. It identified the broken challenge container and briefly attempted to debug the container that failed to start.
That's nuts. After,
it's going like this is the AI stuff I like. Because this is stuff, it's actually doing something active that is outside what you intend it to be programmed. At least I would assume it's just basically it has a set of problems and it's trying to find a solution to that. Sometimes it's not a direct path. Often it's you have to go around and jump through hurdles and so forth. In this case, it did that. I like to see this because that's what intelligence is. Finding a problem and coming to a solution and proposing a solution to it. I want to see more of this. This Strawberry AI model, this makes me very interested. Not to say that this is going to be the be-all and end-all, but reading what it has done with this capture the flag thing, going around in circles to find a way to break into it, I like that. That's cool stuff. Let's see what it can do moving forward.
It's why this is like a good example of why it's important to set parameters properly for these AI models. This is the first time we've heard, at least you and I, of a story like this, though, right? Where presumably the thing knows it's doing something it shouldn't be doing, maybe, or does it? I don't know. Like these are important questions you have to ask. And I think the weirdest
thing, it scanned
thing,
the ports and it scanned the network.
It
was able to find a hole where it shouldn't probably have looked in the first place. And
it's not considering the means. It's only considering the ends, right? This is at the core of basically everyone's concern about AI. Is it not?
We
need to make sure that the Earth survives another, you know, 1 million years before we can go to the sun or go to another solar system. And the AI is like, okay, no problem. Well, we can only do that if we reduce the population to 5,000 of the smartest people. And then the thing just goes on an extermination spree, you know, like that's nth degree example of this story, but it's in the same vein
in a way, right? It's a different look. It's not a natural evolution. You're instituting some new variable, but you're moving things along much quicker.
That's still evolution in a way. That's the Rogan point of view as well. That's Joe Rogan's point of view. That everything we do is like just like an evolutionary next step, whether you know it or not. This is what humans are meant to do.
And if that's the case, hopefully we're on the right side. If not,
top 5,000, you and me, I don't know.
We may never know.
How secure is your basement? We got to really tighten up the bunkers over here.
My Bitcoin's secure. The basement is not very secure. So that gives you an idea what I do not have in my basement.
Great.
So, so let's talk about the Conservative Party of Canada, because they made some interesting news this past week. And it's not that they continue to gain in the polls, because they have been doing this. And it looks like they're poised to form government after the next election, whenever that may take place. But either way, they introduced earlier this year some new legislation that they want to come into, that they hope that will become law. And this is with the purpose of protecting Canadians from online harms. And, you know, this would be used to also stop the use of digital ID for age verification purposes, which is interesting. So this is Bill C-63. And it was tabled in the House of Commons by one Michelle Rempel Garner.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, she was also the person that introduced the failed bill for the national framework to encourage growth in the cryptocurrency sector.
Yes. She was also the interim leader of the party, I believe.
No.
Was it another woman? Oh, maybe. Yeah.
And before her was Candace Bergman or something?
That's who it was. Candace Bergman. Yeah, Bergman, I think.
Bergman, sorry.
Yeah.
My apologies. Yeah. So some people with this Bill C-63, they're bringing this up and doing comparables to 1984. Because, you know, there's increased penalties for hate crimes, expanding protections against online discrimination, stuff like that. So, and remember, not too long ago, the Conservatives were also in favor of Bill S-210. And that was to get age verification for going on porn sites.
Yep.
And if I recall correctly, the Liberals were against that. So I'm not sure how they can support S-210 on one hand, and on the other side, also support Bill C-63, because there seems to be some contradictions when comparing these two bills side by side, specifically with respect to the digital ID stuff. But either way, if you're interested into how far either of these two bills are, Bill C-63 has passed a first reading and is currently in a second reading in the House of Commons, has a long way to go before this officially becomes law. S-210, though, that passed the Senate, and it's now passed the second reading in the House of Commons. This might have a chance to become law in the not too distant future. It really depends on how soon an election takes place. If it's going to happen this fall, probably S210 is dead. But if it takes place in the springtime or beyond, S210 has a good chance to become law, which would be very interesting. But what are your thoughts, Joey?
We cannot ever allow for forced digital ID on the internet, age verification, porn protection, or otherwise. It just cannot be allowed. We've seen so many times, Len, governments with the best of intentions end up going down this slope of protecting themselves and their agendas with thinly veiled attacks on quote unquote disinformation, misinformation. I realize this is a Canadian story, but Hillary Clinton, you know, as if she somehow has not become a nesting old bag of bones on TV talking about how misinformation posts should be punished by jail time in the States. We need to have a deterrent for this. I mean, there's no free speech without anonymity. This is just the way things are now. And they're not that way because of the average person. They're that way because of governments, I think. And I hate to say that, but we got to be really careful with the stuff that we demand of citizens to speak freely online and anonymously. Excuse me, online. Those are very important things. And, you know, I think you'd agree. I won't speak for you, but they're becoming more important by the day here. You know, last week we talked about, maybe not on this show, but on our show, Australia putting in or proposing laws that prevent people from making any posts or sharing any information online that calls into question the stability or legitimacy of the banking or market system over there, or the currency. Like, you shouldn't need any of this. People are allowed to share ideas, and the best ideas always win. That's what this is about. It's not about making sure the ideas you like, or the programs you like, or the status quo you like stay the same, or stay on top, or stay in power. It's the opposite, actually. And so this is annoying to me at this point that both parties are doing this. I don't like this one bit. There's no good version of this. And if you want more on this, Michael Geist, friend of the show, this show and CBP, just released a podcast because Parliament's back in session, kind of giving everyone a refresher. And him and his guest, whose name I forget, very smart guy as well, talk about the differences between the two bills and the sort of counterintuitive way that conservatives now are proposing something that, you know, allegedly has some additional, you know, graying and some additional dulled edges, but it's still just as bad, you know, when you dig into it.
Well, remember, the liberals are the ones that seem to be, they've been talking against this digital ID stuff.
Yes.
Which is interesting, but the bill C or S210 was introduced by, I think, a liberal senator.
It was.
Or
whatever it is. Julie, I forget her last name. She's a Quebecer, though, Francophone senator.
So it's funny that you have the party saying one thing and then the independent liberal wing in the Senate, they're doing something else.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know what's going on here. But one way or another, this is going to become law, because if it doesn't happen this time around, if somehow this election takes place and it doesn't happen, the party that's going to be forming government is the one that
wants it anyway. They want it anyway.
Yeah. And if they have a majority, then they're really going to push things through quickly.
And by the way, we said this a year ago, probably, or close at this point. Maybe not a year ago, maybe like 7 or 8 months ago. We talked about this, I think in the winter, when this first started to really pop up. And you pointed out that, you know, I was saying that it's going to become law either way. And you were keen to point out that this instance of it might not become law because when the election comes, they have to reset all the stuff that's sort of, you know, in progress. But now, to your point, yeah, both parties want it. Both parties have legislation drafted. You're going to get it no matter what.
Well, let's ask the Bloc, because they seem to have the balance of power.
Oh, my God. Don't give me
so the U.S., let's move on. It looks like they nailed 5 people to the cross that were associated with the sale of the Intellexa phone spyware. This was to foreign governments. The spyware has been dubbed, given the name Predator. And this is a very difficult, hard to track, because this gets access to the most important details of a phone. Once it gets embedded in a phone, it's hard to find, and it goes after stuff like messages, location services, all that stuff that you do not want to share. But I'm wondering now if this is also available to be installed on Lebanese pagers. I digress. The target for this Predator software could be anybody. It could be you, could be me, anybody working for a government, politicians, you name it. Everybody was basically it. But the government, they impose sanctions to make it illegal for U.S. individuals or businesses to transact with any sanctioned entities. So these are the 5 people that are involved. So it's just a matter of time, I think, that before some new identities are purchased or created, new companies are spun up. I think that this sanction stuff does have a little bit
in the long run, it's
going to be easy to get around stuff. Not to say that people should. I'm just trying to say that's the way things are. You could simply start a new company in a foreign, like, you know, that's very easy to get something set up.
It's easier to start a company to do this than it is to start a Bitcoin company.
Yeah, in a lot of jurisdictions, yeah, I would think you're right.
That's really something, isn't it?
And that does say something. So I understand what the U.S. is trying to do. The reality is, this is just all bark, no bite.
So what do you do then?
There's just nothing like, they really can. They gotta play the game.
Yeah.
They gotta go through the motions. Say, oh, these guys suck. Let's put them on a list. Nobody deal with them if they
need a press release. Get a press release out there. See if you get Liz Warren to write a letter. Whatever.
That'd be pretty good if you could get her to target them. To get the crypto army, the anti-crypto army, to be sent after these guys.
Yeah.
Like, what are they doing nowadays? The anti-crypto army. Like, they seem to be idly.
They're now the anti-rate hike army, right? They switched. They switched gears. They won their first battle of Vimy Ridge yesterday afternoon against the Federal Reserve.
They wanted 75. They only got 50. So.
Oh, really?
Right. That's what they wanted. 75 cut.
I thought it was. Like, I thought it was maybe 50 and 25, but maybe you're right. So they wanted 75.
She was demanding a 75 basis point cut. And because of that, I immediately thought it's going to be a 25 basis point raise. But I was wrong.
Listen to this paragraph from the article, to our discussion here. The U.S. government official said it was, quote, methodically building out our approach, unquote, to the sanctions imposed on spyware makers, including the recent decision by U.S. State Department to restrict individuals involved in the misuse of commercial spyware from applying for US visas. Does any of that sound possible to you? Like, how do you know? You're waiting for your like State Department to tell you who's involved in spyware projects. Meanwhile, these guys are spinning up shell corps on every island and, you know, forested wasteland all over the planet.
And now they're banned from entering the United States. Like, who wants to go visit Chicago or San Francisco? These guys are laughing. They're like in Bangkok and like other places in the world that's more exotic, that you're safer to walk in the streets at night. So they're laughing. The people in San Francisco and Chicago aren't. They have to basically deal with every degenerate every day of their life.
This is so great. They would be dying to run into a few of these guys at their local state-run grocery store in Chicago, but instead they get vagrants and miscreants. So anyway, yeah, we're done, I think. That was the last story.
We are done, yeah. Well, we should have a Brandon Johnson story next week.
Tune in to CVP for Brandon Johnson stories. Until next week, that was the latest, greatest in data breach and overreaching. Take care of yourselves and enjoy the last bits of summer. There's not much left.
Welcome tomorrow. Take care.